All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to episode 44 of Late Night Shots podcast. Today we are here with number 10 ranked wrestler in the country at 165 pounds for the University of Minnesota, Andrew Sparks.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Today's an off day, so I just able to, you know, sleep in, rest, recover, get a haircut, get a little workout. So, yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah. So, I think let's just get right into it. So most people know you from, you know, you've been coming on the scene recently with a big win over Nebraska, but let's go back in before that to your state finals. You know, you pulled one of the biggest upsets of, I think, that year in any state. You upset Kyle Valencia in the finals as the 2 seed, 7-1. How do you think that, like, transition, like, mentally into college?
It definitely gave me a lot more confidence, you know, after beating Valencia. He's a pretty big name, and it really, really helped me just to believe, like, man, I really am, you know, the best in the country in high school, and just to look back on how far I've come and just how much I've improved, even just a week later from wrestling him at Masters. It really gave me a lot of confidence going forward, and just having faith in how far I can go, and you know, how much better I can get in college. So yeah. I think it's definitely it's helped me a lot in my transition to college and my development.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Derek will start us off talking a little bit about your beginning of your career, and I'll pick up around, I think, junior, senior year, going into, like, your huge wins there, kind of caused you to pick Minnesota when you signed and the wins you've been having recently.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, I started wrestling freshman year. So this is my fifth year wrestling, which is kind of crazy. And I had no colleges interested in me going into my senior year. I had one college at the beginning of the year of my senior year, which was Cal State Bakersfield. They were the only college that really reached out to me, was interested in me. So I was pretty under the radar, you know, and I didn't do a whole lot in my junior year. So there wasn't a whole lot of, like, evidence to show that I was, D1 level material. So going into, let's see, I had a couple big wins my senior year. I knocked off who's an Arizona State champ. I forget his name. And then I had another big win, knocked off the number 2 guy in the state. Knocked off later in the year. I got some big wins with some ranked guys in the country. That was a Doc B. And that's when I really got noticed by a lot of colleges. And, you know, I kind of put myself out there. You know, I got to kind of put myself on the map, and people started realizing, oh, he's the real deal now. And, you know, I'm a good choice
for colleges. Yeah. Up to 65. So obviously for you, I know, especially obviously where you're at right now, I'm sure you probably couldn't have even imagined, you know, walking into that wrestling room as a freshman being like, you know what, I'm going to be a Division I starter as a freshman in college, you know, when I end up, you know, finishing high school. So what was that freshman year like for you, obviously coming into the, you know, the sport of wrestling late, especially in a state like California, which has, you know, only been improving their wrestling, you know, in these last couple of years. So I'm sure that was probably a tough, you know, tough couple of months for you.
Yeah, well, I was freshman year, I was tiny too. I wrestled at 106. So I was this tiny little scrawny dude. I'm still super competitive, but I just wouldn't accept losing, you know. I would get beat up in the room all the time, and I hated it so much, and I'd obsess about it, you know. So I guess a lot of it was just me just being stubborn and not accepting, you know, not being good, I guess. And so that helped me a lot, because I lost a lot freshman year. So, but every time I lost, it gave me more motivation to keep going and getting better. Whereas maybe other people, it might, you know, it might discourage them. but it was kind of the opposite for me. Whenever I lose, I get more fired up and more motivated to work harder and do better. So,
yeah. So
and I definitely think, you know, that's – oh, go ahead.
No, all right. So I put a poll on my Instagram story. I said we were doing this podcast today. Dropped some questions for you. So I think two of them you already answered. The first one was how'd you deal with your losses, which you just said, you know, go to improve off them, can't let it drag you down. That's kind of just building you up mentally for big success, which you obviously had. And then the other one was how'd you improve so quickly, which kind of ties into the first one. So
Yeah, definitely the huge, huge thing for me was freshman year. You know, I was the type of kid after I lost, I'd go out and, you know, chuck my headgear at a wall and, you know, maybe like punch a wall and, you know, get super pissed off. And once I started to realize, like, man, if you think about it, you learn most from your losses and your mistakes, and this is just all part of the process to get better and improve. So when you just look at it that way, it's a game changer, you know. And then you come in the next day or, you know, the next week and just watch the film and just see what you can learn from, you know, your losses and mistakes.
So huge part of improvement. The last question here, I didn't get that many responses on the poll. I just put it out like an hour ago. So, this one's just a general question. Your least favorite wrestling move to do on bottom?
On bottom?
Yeah.
Least favorite wrestling
move. I don't know why that's a question, but, you know, I still answer.
I don't really like to just sit out a lot, you know? Yeah, that's one thing. I don't really like to get, like, sucked back, you know, and go in a crackdown position. So that's one thing that I try to stay away from. I try, you know, stay on my knees and just come up right away.
Okay. That question was kind of awkward. But just DM me, like, five times asking about it. So I was like, we're going to ask it. So
yeah.
All right. So obviously for you, you know, coming in as, you know, an undersized, kind of undereducated 106 pounder, what was that, you know, that summer going into sophomore year, you know, obviously a super strong, you know, mental toughness. And, you know, what did you do to, you know, improve and, you know, what weight class did you end up wrestling your sophomore year?
So sophomore year, I wrestled 126. So I put on a little bit of weight. I was still a little kid, you know, still, I'm starting to get a little bit of a deep voice, but I was still pretty much a kid. I just kept training all through the off season and, you know, through the summer. And, that's really it. Actually, end of sophomore year, I broke my collarbone and vertebrae in my back. So I didn't finish so well my sophomore year either. So, that was a little rough, but. Yeah, I wasn't too great sophomore year yet. I mean, I was definitely a lot better than freshman year, but sophomore year, I still struggled a lot. Still had a lot of losses, so it was a rough year too.
So with the postseason in California, so there's only one state tournament. It's the same where I wrestled in high school in New Jersey. So like, I know there's like multiple different divisions because in Jersey we have districts, regions, states, and that's it. In Cali, I'm pretty sure there's like 4 or 5 tournaments, right?
Yeah, there's – so, yeah, we got the, you know, our league and then CIF. I think there's 9 different CIFs. Okay. And then for Masters, is it 4? Maybe, yeah. I'm not exactly sure. But then we got one state tournament. Yeah. So there's, you know, only one division. So the entire state is represented in one tournament. So that's what's one thing that's cool about California.
Okay, so your freshman year, you said you didn't make it anywhere, right? Out of the first tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, freshman year, I placed 8th in CIF, which was pretty good for a first-year freshman. Yeah.
So you made it
out of the league. But I didn't move on to Masters. So you have to take top 5. You have to take top 5 or 6 as to go to Masters in CIF. And then sophomore, I did take 6, and then I broke my collarbone. So,
okay. Yeah. What's his name? I remember we did another episode with Josiah Hill. I think he's the same grade as you, right? The kid who won heavyweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josiah Hill. You guys kind of have like the exact same story too. It's kind of crazy now I'm thinking about it.
Really?
Started wrestling as a freshman. Yeah.
Really?
You know, obviously, you guys come from different spectrums of like two completely opposite ends. One's 106. One comes in as a heavyweight with like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm just putting like a bunch of things together in my head. You come out there. Kyle Valencia is like the established dude at the weight class, already committed to ASU to wrestle with his brothers if they're still one's still there. But he's wrestling where his brothers wrestled. And then Josiah has Nico Villarreal from Gilroy, you know, with Chase Aldate there. Already has Daniel Cormier coaching him. And then things just look like out of reach until you come out to the state finals. Then Josiah Hill pins him there. Just like shocks everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, very similar. Now that I connect the dots, it is very similar story. But obviously, you know, you still worked hard, I'm sure, that, you know, or harder that sophomore, you know, sophomore to junior year. You didn't mention, what weight did you wrestle your sophomore? Did you still wrestle 106 sophomore year?
Sophomore year is 126. Yeah.
126.
And junior year, 152. Senior year, 160.
All right. So I'm going to pass it over to Akil. He's going to run you through your junior and senior year.
Yeah. You know, so junior year is kind of like what I realized, like, I kind of had like a lot of the same things to start wrestling freshman year. You know, obviously I didn't make it all the way to Division I level. I'm wrestling at D2 school in Pennsylvania, but junior year for most guys is like make or break. Like, that's when college is going to start looking at you. And if they don't see you as a junior, it gets like 10 times harder to get recruited as a senior with no phone from your junior year. Cause you have to wait all the way till the winter, till the season. Like, you're probably, are you thinking about this at this point, like getting recruited?
Yeah. Yeah. Junior year. Yeah. I had big hopes to, you know, win state that year. That was my goal, and get noticed by some big colleges. So yeah, junior year, it was a big disappointment for me too. I was starting to get some big wins. You know, I was right there with some of the top guys in the state, and masters at CIF, I did well. I won CIF finally. And then masters, I went in, didn't wrestle too well, took fifth at masters. And then going into state, it was first match, pigtails. Mm-hmm. I go out and I don't know. I just got in my own head. Maybe it was the big crowd, you know, and first time going out there, I was just nervous and I didn't wrestle with myself. And I ended up losing. And then I injured my ribs. And then next match I came back and I tore a ligament actually in my thumb. It's still not repaired, but yeah, it's all right now. But yeah, so it was a rough start for me. And I came back, battled, and I won a few matches, and then I lost my next match. So yeah, so I ended up going 3-2 at state.
Did you place, or was that a blood round finish?
No, I didn't place. No, you
didn't place. Damn.
Because I lost the first match.
Yeah, I saw that happen to like a lot of guys in our state. Yeah. It was like Division One commissions going down. A couple of them didn't even make the state tournament, which is just like wow to look at. And then you have kids like under 500 just somehow sneaking by. It's just
right.
Yeah, no, it's just like interesting to look at. But going into your senior season, this is like for you, did you have like any, you probably had obviously looks from like D2, D3 schools at this point. Did you have looks from like any solid Division I schools?
I wasn't talking to any D2 schools or no one. I didn't send any letters out or anything. So yeah, it was kind of on me too, but the plan was to, you know, go and win state, and then all the, you know, colleges would come to me, but didn't work out that way. So
I also don't know if you can answer this question, but what was like your dream school at this point in time?
My dream school was Iowa. Yeah. I felt like I was, you know, got a very similar style to the way I wrestle, you know, like hard, fast pace, you know, always in the guy's face.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was Iowa, Nebraska. I didn't really know much about Minnesota at the time, mm-hmm. but yeah, those were like my top two.
Yeah, I think this is back when Gable was going into his freshman year, right? That was crazy. I think they didn't have like anybody before then. Then Gable comes in, McKee's come in. It's just like they just went from like being like an average program, and now they're like up there like normal Big Ten school.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're coming back, getting some good guys in the room. The atmosphere is right now in the room, and we're climbing up the rankings. So we're gonna be
definitely
give us a couple years, you know, and we're gonna be really, really lethal.
It's gonna be fun to watch. But going into your senior year, did you already know you were gonna go 160, even with Cal Valencia there?
Going into my senior year, I was not sure. I wanted to go 170, you know, and just not cut too much, and just wrestle at the weight I was at. But I wanted to wrestle the best competition in the state. So for me, for that year, it was 160. There was more competition at 160, you know, with Valencia, and there was Max Wilner, the Rocco Contino. Mm-hmm. So there, yeah, some other big names too in that weight. So it was definitely a tough weight. So that's why I wanted to go 160.
Yeah.
That was the
exciting for that match being hyped up the way it was, like I don't know how to say it, but like you broke him like in the match, like I was watching the match, you just like it was 7-1, you just take him down, just ride him out the entire period, and he just like kind of just lost his will that match. Like it was insane to watch, because I just rewatched it like a couple hours ago too. Like after you won that, like what's going through your head now? You pulled off, I think, the biggest upset in the entire state.
I mean, it was crazy for me, especially because I lost to him like 3 times before. You know, I knew I was right there. I knew I had in me to beat him, and I just needed to kind of maybe have a different game plan and just not worry about too much what he does and just open up, wrestle how I do in the room, wrestle confident. You know, I had nothing to lose at that point. It was like, you know what, everyone expects me to lose in this arena, you know, so I'm just going to go and leave it all out there and put everything on the line and just give him everything I got, stay in his face, wrestle as hard as I can for 6 minutes, and that's what I did. And so I definitely had a little bit of a different game plan and mindset going into that match versus the few times before. So that was definitely like the deciding factor of, you know, that was a big game changer for me and why I was able to just dominate like I did. So
yeah,
mindset is huge.
Yeah,
I usually like to ask this question to, you know, all of our guys that come on, because obviously pretty much everyone we've had on has been a state champ. What was it like for you returning back to school after, you know, you finally made your dreams come true that I'm sure your friends and, you know, your other peers and your teachers all knew that you were working so hard for? What was that moment like, you know, walking back into the school? Like, you know, I did what I had my mind set on. I am now, you know, the state champ.
After winning state? Yeah. I remember at the day back, like every class I walked into, everyone would clap me. And, you know, when I walked in, everyone would give me a little like ovation. So yeah, it was definitely cool. And I'm from a small school. We have a little school, so everyone, you know about everyone in the school. So yeah, everyone was pretty proud of me and excited. So yeah, it was definitely a really, really cool experience.
So before, leading up to the state finals match, like before states, did you have like any Division I schools talking to you at this point, or do they all come after that?
Or state? Yeah, I did. There were a good amount after Doc B. That's when I, you know, like I said, Doc B. When I took third, I lost to Valencia 5-6 there, but I came back and took third. So that was where I got some good college. I had Rutgers. The ones I was looking at, yeah, it was Rutgers, Iowa State. Let's see, Oregon State. North Dakota State. Those were the main ones I was looking at.
So a couple of solid schools there.
Yeah. And after state, it was just crazy. So basically it felt like every college was contacting me. My phone blew up right after the match. And that's when Minnesota, Eggum was there. our head coach Egham, he was there. He watched me wrestle. He didn't really know much about me. He was there for, I think, like Soldate and Vasquez. And then he saw me wrestle and he's like, we got to get this guy. So
did did Jesse Vasquez commit to Arizona State, right? ASU. Okay. And then Chase went to Michigan State, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you see Cali guys, like, they don't get recruited as much too, which is like just different.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in California because there's so many wrestlers. But the thing is, like, you know, there's only one division, and it's hard to get noticed, I guess. Yeah, because just so many wrestlers, and you know, it's just hard to kind of stand out, I guess.
So I'm assuming Coach Egham hit you up after the tournament. You know,
yeah, I talked to him right after the match. Yeah, my coach called me and he's like, hey. The head coach from Minnesota wants to talk to you. So I ran up there and talked to him a little bit, and that's where it all started.
Yeah. What did he say, or like, did you see about Minnesota or about the team, about anything there that stood out to you and kind of caused you to commit there over anywhere else?
I guess the biggest thing was just talking to the coaches, you know, and just getting to know them and their like character. And you can tell a lot about the team and, you know, like what the atmosphere is like in the room by just the coach's character and, you know, how they hold themselves and the way they talk. So I wasn't able to go on any recruiting trips.
Yeah.
So I just had to base, you know, what I thought, you know, the room would be like and my teammates would be like based on the coaches. And I was able to talk to some of the wrestlers too and the guys in my class. But, so I just – that was the biggest thing for me.
You're not on campus right now, are you?
I am actually.
Oh, wait, yeah, you are.
I'm in dorms. So
okay, is it like the entire team on campus right now, or like how are things going down there?
Everyone's here. We're training our facility, so that's nice. Everything's still online. They're actually, some of the classes are opened up. Some of the upperclassmen go to classes a little bit, but I'm all online, so yeah.
So, you know, I think coming onto the Division I level, people knew about you back in California, but nobody really knew about you here until, you know, you got a big win over Nebraska. That's what kind of put you in everybody's vision. Like, what kind of went into that?
Yeah, that was huge for me, you know, especially I'm going to be honest, like, I was struggling a little bit in the room, you know, just trying to transition to college. And I was, you know, just things weren't going so well for me in the room. I was trying to get, like, a rhythm down, and you know, I was struggling a little bit, so that was a huge win for me, just being able to go out there and prove to not everyone else, but most importantly myself, that I'm right there and I can beat the, you know, some of the best guys in the country, and I have it in me to do that, you know, even as a true freshman. So that was a huge win for me.
I actually didn't even know that, like, Peyton Robb was ranked that high coming to the season. And then people were like, because I've seen you about you coming in from California, because I've talked to a good amount of Cali guys, and then I hear you upset Peyton Robb, right? And I'm kind of like, okay. And then I kind of look at, and then everybody starts posting about it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Just after looking at that.
It blew up. That was a big win.
Yeah, he's a good wrestler. He's beaten some All-Americans.
Dude, he almost beat him.
Last year he beat Caleb Young. He was ranked 7th in the nation.
He had a good showing against Marinelli in that thing. Yeah. In the Nebraska versus Iowa. I mean, they got whooped as a team, but, you know. So I think so we'll do sort of like a Rockfin type thing now. You know, after it matches, Willie will ask, like, if you could pick one guy in the country who you want to wrestle at 165, who would it be?
You know, probably Alex Marinelli, and I'm going to get my chance this week. right. So yeah, either him or Makai Lewis, those are the two top guys.
Dude, what's it called? If you win this match, I'm telling you, you're gonna go viral because of this club now.
Yeah.
Put the whole time stamp on it and everything.
That's what I'm training for. So we'll see how it goes. Not quite sure if I'm gonna wrestle in that match yet. But there is a chance Bailey O'Reilly could wrestle at 65 against Marinelli, but I'm not sure yet. So we'll see what happens.
Would you still be wrestling if that happened?
I would still wrestle. Yeah, I would still wrestle someone else.
74.
I would still get a match at 65. Yeah, one of their extra guys. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
You just gotta knock off Kemmerer then. You know.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll be honest. I don't like Iowa. I've said it before. It's whatever. But I just can't be too open about that. I don't think anybody likes them. Let's be honest, though. Except if you're from Iowa, or, you know.
That's a big duel, though. There's a lot of big matches there for, you know, obviously a big match at heavyweight there, Cassiope Stevenson.
There's not a doubt
that he loses that match. I mean, he's done it time and time again. He's beaten Cassiope.
I think Gable's like 10-1 against Cassiope or something like that, record wise. Yeah. I think Cassiope beat him when Gable bumped like from 220. By the criteria.
Yeah, in high school. Yeah, it was high school.
They were both like 1-2 in the country at that point.
Yeah, Gable's looking crazy good this year, and I don't think anyone's going to even come close to beating them this year.
They're starting with the face. You know, honestly, like, I think, you know, Gable's a favorite. Yeah, I think he's probably going to win. But you obviously know about the whole Gable versus Kirk Fleet high school matchup. Have you ever seen that?
No.
No, do you have to watch that? Gable Stevenson versus Greg Kirkfleet, I think, was voted the best high school match of 2018.
Where's Kirkfleet wrestling at?
This was when they were in high school.
Oh, it was a Penn State guy. Okay, yeah, I've heard about that match. I haven't seen it, but I've just heard about it.
Yeah, he is. Once Penn State starts wrestling duels, I think that's going to, you know, really be, you know, if he really truly shows up and, you know, is what, you know, if he shows up and, you know, is the hype really, you know, is the hype really real behind him, or is he going to show up and, you know, kind of take some tough losses? But I'm not going to say anything. You know, we got a Minnesota guy on tonight. I'm not going to voice too much about who I think is going to win heavyweight this year, but, you know, Gable's obviously a one or two. He's a finalist. There's no doubt anybody could put him, you know, not in the finals for this year. I mean, obviously he looks like he's been working his tail off every single day, and I'm sure you could contest to that he's, you know, really truly been putting in the work.
Yeah, I think the last time this match was wrestled, Gable won 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2. He beat Kirk 3-2.
Like, no matter who wins, I want to see this match.
I think it's gonna be a good match. Everybody else is also.
But at the end of the day, I don't need Kirkfleet to beat Gable Stevenson. I just need him to pin Cassiope.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
like that. That's all I need to win the duel. Because let's be honest, did you see the Penn State versus Iowa duel last season?
I did.
If Anthony Cassaro goes in a heavyweight, Penn State wins. Instead of Seth.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
But, dude, Neville's
just didn't perform to what I expected him to last year. I mean, that's just my opinion. I just don't think he truly was as good as everybody said he was. And I think, you know, if you do see Kirk come out and start for these next couple seasons, do we see a transfer, you know, just to get him out of there if he wants to obviously wrestle? You know, will we see Neville's, you know, leave Penn State? Because, I mean, I just don't think he was as good as everybody hyped him up to be, in my opinion.
Yeah. I can't really say much because I haven't really seen him wrestle much.
Yeah. Let's also be honest. Like, you see that happen with a lot of guys as freshmen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of guys will go in there with high hopes, kind of tank at NCAAs. Like, the only difference with Gable is he did it at a much higher level and just regressed slightly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, falling to Anthony Cassar is like, okay, nobody's really going to bat an eye at it. But he still was the favorite, you know? You can put in guys like Seth Neville's Tang and Tony Cassiope. He's pretty much the same thing, just different skills that. But let's bring this back to you, my bad. We're getting a little bit off topic there. So, you know, you're on, like, a stacked team.
Yeah.
You got the McKee brothers. You got Brayton Lee there. Yourself, who now is in All-American contention right there.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And then you got the man, Gable Steveson, you know, the face of Minnesota wrestling at this point. And then, you know, like, what do you see, like, in the team's future this year?
We had a good duel this last week. We didn't wrestle. You know, we had some bad matches against Nebraska. So, I don't think that was a good representation of how we're going to do this year. I think we have a lot of potential, you know, this year. You look at Patrick McKee. He just knocked off the number two guy in the country the other day.
Ravon Foley, that was huge.
At every weight, you know, and Brayton Lee, I think he's got a really good chance of winning the title this year. And, you know, I'm getting better every single week. You know, I still got a lot to work on. You know, I'm just a freshman and I'm still a little new to the sport. So I'm definitely, you know, there's still a lot for me to get better at. So, I'm working for that national title. At every weight, every guy can, you know, has a chance to all
push for, push for the podium.
Yeah.
And, like, I just wanted to ask a question, like, what has this journey been like for your family? You know, obviously you walking home, you know, in your front door after school one day, freshman year, being like, I want to try wrestling, to now, you know, having these huge three matches so far, your freshman season, starting at a super high level Big Ten Division I college. Like, what has that journey been like from your family?
Yeah, well, none of them are really athletes. My dad, he wasn't some, you know, special athlete. My mom, none of them wrestled, so I'm not from a wrestling family. I'm the only one in my family that wrestles. So I just I moved around a lot. I actually lived in New Hampshire right before I went to California, and I had a couple friends that wrestled. And so that's when I was, like, introduced to wrestling a little bit. I was like, okay, like, this is a sport, you know, that people do in high school. You know, you can wrestle in college. It's not just like WWE, you know, where they're jumping off of the freaking, whatever you call them, tight ropes, you know? So when I went to California, it was actually my eighth grade year. That's when I first went into the wrestling room, told my mom, hey, I want to try this wrestling thing out. I heard it's really tough, you know, it's something, you know, I might want to do. So we found a little club. We go into the room. I don't have any wrestling shoes on. First 20 minutes, I jump in there, start wrestling with some dude. He shoots in, his knee lands right on my toe, snaps it. So I have to go to the emergency room. I get surgery on my toe, get two pins in there. And so that was my first experience wrestling, was snapping my toe and then having to get two pins in there. And then,
what a great experience.
Yeah. That was how I was introduced to wrestling.
Good. So, I don't even know if I would have came back. After that, I would have been like, you know what? I'm good.
My mom, she's like, "Wait, you want to come back now? You just, like, after 3 months?" I was like, "Yeah, I want to go back and do this again." And she's
"With wrestling shoes on this time, I'm sure."
Yeah, with wrestling shoes. That's when I learned why wrestling shoes are important. So very important. Don't want to snap your toes. So
good thing heavyweights don't shoot. Yeah, so chill. But I think a couple small things I wanted to touch on. So I think the biggest story at 165 in the Big Ten is obviously Wisconsin's Evan Wick not wrestling this season. And I'm assuming you know about that. How did that really affect you? So I'm assuming it does.
Wisconsin's heavyweight?
No, Evan Wick at 165.
Oh, Evan Wick. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's whatever for me, you know. I mean, there's plenty of other top guys in the country, you know, that I have to beat. So, you know, it doesn't make much of a difference for me. And, you know, this year it's all about just, I mean, this is basically year zero for me, you know. This is just like a free year. And so it's just like, you know, I'm just going to do the best. It doesn't matter who I wrestle. I'm just going to go out and wrestle the same and wrestle as hard as I can. And win or lose, like, it's, you know, it's all part of the process. And it's just part of, you know, me growing and learning. So, yeah.
So before we hop into the final segment, which are, we like to call them Derek's dumbass questions because they're pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you versus Alex Marinelli, you know, I made these calls before. They fall through about maybe 1 out of 5 times.
You're usually pretty good with them.
Please lat drop him. That's all I need to say. That's it. Like,
lat drop. No.
You're not a thrower?
I'm not a thrower at all. No. Not a thrower.
If the situation were to come up.
I typically try to stay away from upper body, to be honest. That's a position where I'm not that comfortable at.
You wouldn't do it just for the meme?
Sorry, man.
You wouldn't?
No.
Like, say if he shot it.
Yeah, let's not put him in a risky position.
All right. No, I'm not saying to do it. It was just a question.
Yeah.
If I'm down, what, 8 points or whatever, I have to get a pin, maybe I'll try a lat drop.
Okay.
But yeah, so you're down by 8 points. You look into the camera, point, smile, put a thumbs up, and lat drop him on his back and stick him. And then in the post-match interview, make sure you mention this moment right here that you pinned Alex Marinelli because a kid on a podcast told you to pin him with a lat drop.
All right. I'll remember
it. All right.
I don't know. But, like, you know, like Vincenzo Joseph did it. And let's be honest, Marinelli loves upper body. He's gonna come at you with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna try to stay out of that. So,
all right. It's just a proposition, you know. Ever since I called Drew Foster over David Taylor that one time. I don't know how I did it, but yeah.
Oh yeah,
that was
all right. Wild. Now it's time for my favorite segment of the evening. All right, first question. These are the most important. Are you a weight cutter?
No.
No, you don't cut weight.
I don't like cutting weight.
But theoretically, if you had to cut weight, right, what would be your one cheat meal that you're like, all right, I cut all this weight, I just wrestled a duel, we have a couple days off. What's the one meal that you're like, all right, I earned this?
Pizza, 100%.
Pizza?
Yeah. After the duel, I got some Culver's ice cream. That was pretty fire. So I always got to get some ice cream after a good win. But yeah, pizza, maybe hamburger. Yeah.
What type of pizza?
Pasta. Can't go wrong with pasta. All right. Derek? Yeah.
All right. Next, what is your favorite post weigh-in? What are you eating after weigh-ins? Because you know we've heard some weird stuff that people eat after weigh-ins. So what are you eating after weigh-ins?
Usually, I just try to keep it consistent. I usually just have banana, you know, a sandwich, maybe oatmeal. That's about it. I try not to have too much. You know, you don't want to eat a bunch of crazy stuff. It's going to upset your stomach. You want to have the same, you know, stuff, some carbs and protein and, you know, some sugars just, you know, help you feel good.
Right. I just need to say this because it just randomly popped in my head, but do you know who Jacob Casper is? Nah.
Casper?
I mean, he wrestled for Duke. He was a 2-time All-American, but that's besides the point. He said at the beginning of every week he'd be like 205 or something, or 210. And every weekend, he would have to make 184.
Jeez, yeah.
So after he would like that's more weight than pretty much any weight class. And he's an upper weight, but like after they made like a special drink for him, which was like honey syrup and like a bunch of other just like stuff packed in, and he would have to like it'd be like an applesauce consistency, and he would have to drink like 2 bottles of it after weigh-ins every time.
Because he literally would be he'd be half dead, like stumbling on the scale to weigh in, and then be able to wrestle like 2 hours later. And it was like this stuff because like I guess his body couldn't handle like liquids. It was that bad. He was that drained by the end of the week.
I'm not. When the duel...
Yeah, that is yeah, not.
No. That is just. That, I feel like that is like.
There's. Like, yeah, there's a healthy amount of weight to cut, you know, where you can still feel good and wrestle at your best, and then there's just a point where it's too much. So for me, I started. I mean, when I came in earlier, actually I got COVID about a couple months ago. And then after I came back, I was weighing about 185, 83. Yeah. And so, yeah, I made my way down to 65. I was originally just planning on going 174 this year. I was like, you know, I'll just, you know, there's no point. I don't really feel like cutting. I just want to just focus on getting better and having fun this year and just, you know, just focusing on wrestling and not my weight. And then when Coach talked to me, he's like, hey, you know, we want you down to 65. And, you know, there's a good chance you'll start and do well. And so I was like, all right, team needs me more at 65. I'll go down 65 and, you know, get a chance to compete. Like, I'm not going to turn that down. So
oh yeah,
that was a decision. Good decision I made.
All right. And we're going to let you go after this one to end the night. If you could pick three of your Minnesota teammates to have with you in a zombie apocalypse, which three and why?
Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, you can pick three of your teammates and the reason former. Behind each one. Or four, yeah, three
and
or
can,
four.
And you can pick one former Minnesota wrestler. Let's put a spin on this. Because I think I know who yeah. it is, but, you know.
I don't know. That's a good question. Definitely Big Man Gable.
Right.
Solid. I got, let's see. You said four. My buddy Isaiah Salazar. Okay. Let's see, who else? Keaton Cleaver, our other heavyweight. We need a slow guy, you know. So like, if you're getting chased, you got someone.
The guy you shoot in the knee and let him get
exactly.
Eaten.
Yeah, he could save my life there.
Oh, this might have to get posted. I'm sorry.
This is a good one. No one ever thought of that. Everybody's just like the heavyweight, the redneck. And the smartest kid on the team. That's what everybody usually thinks. And the guy
with guns. You always need that guy to sacrifice. You always right. need that sacrifice.
So that's a key. Good one. That is a good one.
He's the man.
And next
that.
Time, we're going to close it out with this. Next time you're in a room with Gable Steveson, just let him know we want him to come on the podcast and that we don't hate him. And we won't rip him apart. We need to get him on.
All right. All right. I'll let him know. I don't know if I'll do it, but.
He gives me mixed signals. I don't know, but.
He does.
Nah, he's a great dude, you know, at the end of the day, but. Yeah, so any final words?
Nah, just thank you very much for coming on, giving us your time. I know, obviously, you're probably in some, you know, busy schedule right now with everything going on. But, yeah, we appreciate you coming on, talking.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I guess this has been episode 44 of Late Night Shots, and we will see you guys next time.